Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Earns.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for informational and educational purposes only. You should always consult a qualified healthcare practitioner for all of your healthcare needs. Hello, this is Mike King with Merry Man Herbs. It's a Better Life show, and today we have with us again my great friend, I guess I could say old friend, but you're not old. Cheryl Myers from Europharma. You're the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education, and you are one of my favorite people to interview. Your company's come out with some kind of new products. You got some new in the works, but I think we're going to talk about the bee propolis. It's also pronounced propolis. Depends on kind of where you are. I remember doing a show with Mark Kaler, and he kind of was adamant about it was propolis, but I always say propolis. And I think, how do you say it, Cheryl?
I say propolis.
Okay.
Pro means in front of.
Uh-huh.
And so when you say proactive, that means getting ahead of the action.
Right.
So I think propolis. Propolis.
Okay. Well, and what does propolis mean? You were telling me earlier off air, what does that stand for? It's Greek for?
Defender of the city. So it means someone who stands in front of the city or defends the city.
Okay. What is bee propolis? Can you tell us a little bit? I mean, I think people are familiar with the honey and the royal jelly. And I know, again, we did the show with Mark Kaler and he kind of explained it. But what do you know about bee propolis? I always like to hear more new things.
Well, propolis is a compound that bees collect from the area plants and trees. So it's a resin that they gather. And then they put it in their little pouches in their body. So they carry it in the pouches back to the hive. And they blend it with some other things, sometimes beeswax. And they use it to protect the city. They use it to protect the hive. They use it to seal patches. Mm-hmm. They also use it to keep pathogens and germs out of the hive because it is antibacterial. Antifungal,
wow.
Antiviral. There's all of these different activities it has, and so they use it to protect the hive. Now, if a little creature gets into the hive, you know, like maybe there's a little lizard or a little mouse.
Mouse, right. I've heard of that. Right.
Yeah, so they get into the hive. Well, the bees will kill the intruder, but obviously the bees can't pick that intruder up and move it. And so if they don't do something, it'll destroy the hive because as the body putrefies, it will become
toxic,
you know, just filled with bacteria and fungus and toxic. You're right. So it would ruin the hive. So since the bees can't remove it, they completely coat it in propolis.
Wow.
Propolis completely inhibits that putrefaction process. And so the little mouse dehydrates.
It's mummified.
It dries. Yes, it's absolutely mummified, but it does not rot. And early Egyptians and early Greeks noticed these properties because they looked into beehives and they understood that different compounds in beehives were used for different things.
Right.
And the ancient Greeks incorporated it into their medicine and they used this propolis to treat wounds and abscesses that wouldn't heal. And the ancient Egyptians incorporated it into their embalming processes.
Yeah, I've read about that. When I used to did some study on the Egyptians, they actually did, you know, use that in the embalming. And I think they even found honey and other bee products in some of the tombs. It was honey, I guess, will last forever. And it also has a lot of antiseptic properties. But today we're going to talk about the propolis. Now, I know there's different types. Mark had talked about a green and a brown and a red. You have a product called propolis extract. Basically, it's immune power from nature. Tell me a little bit about that, because there's all kinds of different extraction processes. This has a GH2002, and I'm excited to hear what your company has done, because you're always on the forefront of, you know, the best extraction, the best sources. Tell us a little bit about that, Cheryl.
Well, in our propolis products, in our propolis raw material, we only use a form called GH2002, and that's a clinically studied propolis.
Okay.
And it is uniquely prepared. Because propolis, remember when I said it's blended with a lot of other things?
Yeah, like a lot of wax, I think, is usually the big.
So crude propolis is only about one-third, 20 to 30% true propolis, and the rest of it are waxes and other impurities. And so what the folks that created GH2002 have done is they created a purification process that removes the beeswax, that removes the impurities.
Right.
So when you take 10 milligrams of propolis, you're getting all propolis. When you take 100 milligrams of propolis, you're getting all propolis. You're not getting the beeswax and the other impurities. And that's important because, number one, it ramps up the power of the product, but it also makes it a hypoallergenic product. A lot of individuals have some allergic issues with beeswax.
So there'd be no pollen in that.
No, you don't need to worry about that with the GH2002 propolis.
And where did do you know what GH2002?
There was a company in Germany that created this. So GH is the abbreviation of their company, and then they labeled it 2002, which is when I believe they patented their purification process.
Okay.
So it's a way of understanding that you're getting a hypoallergenic propolis that's all propolis and no beeswax, so that you get a much more powerful product.
Yeah, because I've got some customers that are actually allergic to bee products, and of course, if they get stung, that's the end. But so would this be something that a consumer could maybe still, with some caution, but if they are allergic to bee products, maybe feel a little more comfortable about trying?
You know, they may, but people have different varying levels of reactions, and if they have severe bee problems, I'd have them talk to their allergy specialist.
Okay.
But there are individuals who have problems with bees that do not have problems with this purified propolis.
All right. What is the dosage on this? It looks like 100 milligrams per capsule. How many do you just take? Maybe, because I take bee propolis. In fact, I take this product. I usually just take one a day unless I feel like I'm starting to get a cold or a flu or getting a little bit off with my immune system or something. So I usually just take one a day. What is the dosage? What's a safe high dosage? What has the science shown there?
Well, it's a lot more powerful than crude propolis because it's purified. So when you take one single capsule of our propolis extract, you're getting a lot of propolis on board. So most people, once a day is fine for ongoing immune support if you start to come down with something two per day. But most people don't need any more than that.
Okay. But you could take maybe three in a day. It wouldn't cause any
You shouldn't have
issues.
Any problems with it.
Right.
For most individuals, two a day would be plenty. And I have to brag on our propolis a little bit.
Oh, please.
In both 2015 and 2016, this product won an award.
Okay.
They're called the Immunity Essentials Award from Taste for Life magazine. So this is an award-winning product for 2 years running, looking specifically at its ability to help people during cold and flu season or with any bacterial, viral, or fungal infection.
Okay, because a lot of people are wanting, you know, things to do for cold and flu, and this would be one of the things they could add to their regimen along with the vitamin D and things like that. Now, this says no sugar, salt, yeast, wheat, gluten, corn, soy, dairy products, artificial flavoring, artificial preservatives, or artificial coloring. So it's a very pure product. It's hypoallergenic. It was clinically studied in Germany, and I think it is absolutely phenomenal. It's fairly reasonably priced. Some of the propolis products can get really expensive. Now, I don't know. I could go through this. There is propolis is like one of these things. It's like the curcumin products. You know, the curcumin products are like good for everything. The CBD is another one. I remember doing an interview and they're like, well, what doesn't it do? And you and I have talked about that before. But it's definitely antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral. And it's supposed to be like antiprotozoan. And I wasn't aware of that. And I don't know. Do you know if it's effective against even parasites? Maybe some?
Some. It doesn't have most of the research is on fungal infections, viral infections, bacterial infections. It's very, very powerful antipathogenic. It's a broad spectrum product for use with, regardless of what's making you sick. It has some very strong abilities to kill pathogens. In fact, there's 5 studies specifically published on this specific form of propolis.
How many?
5. 5. So,
wow.
Yeah.
On just this particular form, how many? Do you know how many overall? Sometimes I will study this.
There's hundreds of studies on propolis.
Okay.
So propolis is very beneficial, and I heard you say earlier about the different colors.
Right.
Depending upon where propolis is harvested, you may have some slightly different properties. So while I believe that all propolis is healthy, it may not quite. For example, ours is from Central Europe,
It's
a controlled area. The bees are free-ranging, but it's in the same plants time after time, so you get more consistency.
Okay.
And it's considered like an amber-colored propolis. Well, I would not 100% say that studies done on our specific kind of propolis would apply to like a green or a red propolis.
Okay.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them. I'm just saying that there are some slight differences.
Different attributes, right.
Different attributes based upon the plants and the bees and how they collect it and how they deposit it in the hive.
Right. And of course, you know, there would be different antioxidants and different properties in whatever botanical they're extracting. And I think a lot of the propolis is actually extracted from resins from the plants anyways. And those are protective agents. And, you know, it's like the plant's producing a protective agent, and then you get the bee that comes in and takes that and ferments that and metabolizes that and then uses that. And then you have the wonderful extraction process just to get the good propolis out of that, and then we ingest that, and it does so many things. Some of the other benefits, real quickly, I'm seeing is like anti-ulcer, bactericidal, bacteriostatic, anti-cavity, which I thought was interesting, good for gingivitis, canker sores, tooth extractions, oral bacteria, rhinitis, and we will be talking about herpes here in a minute. Cartilage repair, cardioprotective, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, asthma, bronchitis, anesthetic, wound healing, tissue regeneration. Anti-bleeding, anti-histamic, heat stress, warts, reduced cholesterol, lower blood pressure, antiseptic, UV protection, antibiotic synergy, vaccine synergy, bone formation, fertility and endometriosis, neuroprotective, hepatoprotective, that's your, what is that, your kidneys?
Liver.
Respiratory infections, leucorrhea, candidas, tonsillitis, pancreatic health, anemia, I'm still not done, UTIs, gastritis, birds, ear infections, headaches, seasonal allergies, even gout, immune modulation, anti-cancer, prostate, breast, cervical, kidney, colon, pancreas, laryngeal, glioma, squamous, leukemia, radioprotective. So I know some people are concerned about going in and maybe getting a radiation treatment or something like that. And this is also very radioprotective. It's something you could take maybe before and after the treatment. Anti-metastatic and apoptosis induction, just to list a few. Did I leave anything out?
No, if you did, I can't follow it because that was just so many, such an all-inclusive list.
Yeah.
I believe that while it's useful for so many things, its strongest benefits are the antipathogens. Pathogens are anything that make you sick.
Right.
A bacteria can be helpful, like your probiotic bacteria that we take for healthy gut function,
mm-hmm.
but bacteria can also cause diseases. Viruses can cause diseases. Fungus can cause disease, including yeast infections. So when we look at infections in the body, they're very often bacterial, viral, or fungal. Now, the reason that I focus on this is because we're starting to see that our pharmaceuticals are becoming less and less able to help individuals that have infections. And the bacteria, especially, are learning faster than the drugs
pick
up. And so now we have what we call drug-resistant pathogens, like many of your listeners may have heard of MRSA.
MRSA, right.
Methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. You know, Staph aureus is a common bacterial pathogen. It causes a lot of boils. It can cause urinary tract infections and skin infections. And it used to respond beautifully. People would just give some methicillin and
antibiotic.
It would clear right up.
Right.
Well, that's not true anymore. There's a lot of strains that won't respond to methicillin anymore. There's other things out there, like vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus. So the list goes on. And so what we see is that pretty soon we're going to run out of antibiotic activity, and we need to look at how are we going to help people that have these infections recover from them. And that's why I think propolis is perfectly positioned in order to help individuals. In fact, there was a scientific study specifically on MRSA, and they found that even MRSA is very susceptible to GH2002 propolis.
Wow. Wow. Well, and maybe because it has just not a single mode of action, because, you know, with the propolis, it does a lot of different things. And we find that with botanicals. There are, you know, different compounds in there that do a lot of different things rather than a single isolate like you would get with a pharmaceutical. And that's kind of the, you know, thing that I think is really good about the natural products. They're multitasking and multi-pronged. Okay, so now, we've talked a little bit about all the things that this propolis is good for, mainly the immune system. You've won awards. What about this other product called Herpetino? That it has the GH2002. It's a shingles skincare lotion. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Well, you know, when people, one of the plagues of our time is shingles.
Yes.
And shingles is a reactivation of the virus that causes chickenpox.
Right.
So if you ever had chicken pox as a child, you're at risk for shingles.
I think we all did.
So when you get, if you, especially if your immune system is suppressed, sometimes that virus can come back and rear its ugly head.
Oh, yeah,
so
it can be horrible.
So you'll see shingles in individuals that are under a lot of stress or who have other illnesses. People that are undergoing cancer treatment, radiation therapy, chemotherapy.
Right.
Very often they'll poor folks end up with a dreadful case of shingles because it suppresses the immune system and all of a sudden the virus comes out of hiding. So the shingle skincare lotion is a topical application for people who have shingles to help soothe and to help clear up the shingles activity much faster. In one study looking at participants who had shingles, they saw a 55% improvement after only 7 days and a 92% improvement. So it was almost completely resolved after 14 days. Compare that to untreated shingles, which can linger for weeks and sometimes even months.
Okay, give me those numbers again. That's really interesting. The 55%?
55% improvement after 1 week of use.
7 days, okay. And
92% after 14 days.
So you would just put this on maybe the sore that you get from the shingles? Is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. It's usually not just one. It's usually like a whole line of sores. They can be over the eyebrow and up into the scalp. They can run halfway around the waist. There's a lot. Those are some of the more common areas where you get them.
And they are nasty looking. Yeah, they're just like raw. And I feel so sorry. I've seen them, and I feel so sorry for the people that get those. Now, you can kind of get this internally, too. Sometimes with shingles, it can internalize. Would this be something where you could use this, the shingles skincare lotion, externally and then take the propolis extract internally? Would that be a plan?
I would think that would be a great 1-2 combination. So you've got the topical to soften, soothe, improve the skin appearance, settle down the discomfort, and help it resolve faster. And then you've got it working internally as well. So the studies, I have to say that the studies were on the topical use, those numbers that I quoted to you. But doesn't it just make sense that if you used it both internally and externally, you might get even better results?
I would think so. And, you know, you've got the product that you could take internally and externally. Now, there's some other things in this shingles skincare that we probably should talk about. It's got the evening primrose oil in it. And I know that's just really good for the skin. Was there another reason why that was put in there?
Yes, it is good for the skin. It helps to soften and soothe. The active compound, though, is the GH2002.
Okay, so those are more put in just for the skincare portion, just like the vitamin E. I know vitamin E is so good for your skin, but that's also an antioxidant, too.
Yes, it is. It can be very, very useful. And, you know, it also has a little bit of chamomile in there. That's also very soothing. So, yes, it has these other compounds in it. It has a little vitamin E. These topical compounds that are very soothing for the skin, very healthy for the skin. You've got the GH2002 propolis that is active, but then you've got the other compounds that can make a real difference in skin healing.
Okay, and I know, like with the vitamin E and some of these other, even the evening primrose oil, I've known and read about that helps with scarring too, because I know sometimes people will get maybe scarring from the shingles or have issues with that. So this would be very good for the healing. It also has the B5, the panthenol, and allantoin. Is that how you
pronounce
it? Allantoin. All right. You always know how to pronounce it. Cheryl, how do you pronounce this one? Okay. So, again, these are all things for soothing and softening the skin. So you could use this virtually anywhere. Probably, would it be something that you could put on your lips if you had a cold sore, maybe?
Actually, there's another product that does incorporate the GH2002 called Herpetino Lip Cream.
Oh.
And the Herpetino Lip Cream is a nice little tube. It has a little bit of the Herpetino Lip Cream it's sort of a tan in color. So it helps to mask the cold sore as it helps to relieve it. And it, too, is clinically studied. And what they found is that when you use the lip cream, if you start to use it as quickly as you first start to get that tingle, because a lot of people know that they're starting to get a cold sore, 85% of the time you can avoid going to full incrustation stage. So you don't even have to, I mean, which is amazing, especially if you're a lady out there. You know what I'm talking about. You get stressed out for one of the most important days of your life, your daughter's wedding or something like that, and you've got a big old cold sore. If you can start using it soon enough, 85% of the time you can keep it from going to full incrustation. It can also cut your healing time in half. And it has been compared to the prescription drug, acyclovir, which is the common drug that's used topically for people with cold sores, and found to outperform the blister pain with acyclovir very dramatically, very significantly.
Okay, so I know a lot of people sometimes, I know my wife has had a cold sore in the past. And a lot of times you'll get a little bit of a burning or sensitivity. So the minute you start feeling that, would that be the time to maybe take this lip cream? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know we sell that out at Mary Mann. We sell the shingles skincare and we sell the propolis product. All of those. Now, again, I would be thinking, okay, you know, my lips are starting to burn a little bit. I may be getting, and I'm prone to, I'm not, but if I was an individual that was prone to cold sores, would you want to take the propolis extract with the lip cream? Would you?
Again, absolutely, yeah. You can do that.
Okay.
Because you're also dealing with systemic viruses. It's manifesting itself as a cold sore or manifesting itself as shingles. So, yes, you could use the oral extract to help with that. Now, the oral extract can be used on its own for cold and flu season, for yeast infections, for skin infections.
Wait a minute. Even yeast infections? So you can use your genital?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you're troubled with yeast overgrowth,
yes,
absolutely. Propolis is excellent. The oral propolis is excellent for that. But if you have one of these viral exacerbations, like the problems with fever blisters on the skin, that's the herpes simplex 1, or the problems with shingles, which is herpes zoster, people often ask me, what about genital herpes? Can you use these products on genital herpes?
Yes, I was going to ask that. Okay, you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. I jokingly say you can use them both upstairs and downstairs.
Downstairs, right.
Upstairs and downstairs.
How phenomenal. That is absolutely amazing. Now, anytime you put anything on your skin, you're going to absorb maybe, they say, about 50%. There are some exceptions. So, obviously, using this, you're going to get some of that throughout the body. But I think, again, it would probably be wise if you feel these things coming on that you can take the internal and external. You'll get probably a much, much better result. Now, the other question that I have is, how long are there any studies to show that if you're using this product, is there less incident of like a reoccurrence? Because I know there's a thing called post-herpetic neuralgia, where sometimes people will get the shingles and then they get stressed out or something happens to them and it rears its ugly head again. Do you know of any studies or any information? Does this kind of help slow a reoccurrence down? Or if you have genital herpes, I know a lot of people get an outbreak, you know, every few months or on a cycle kind of. Does this, have you know of anything about that?
It's most of the studies are looking at the topical to help with resolution of the herpes outbreak faster.
Okay.
However, based on how we know it works with its antiviral activity, it may be useful, but that would be more anecdotal evidence. There isn't a study yet that supports that. I hope to see one of those in the near future because it just makes sense that it would.
Yeah.
However, you know, I like to tell listeners the difference between what we know and what's been clinically studied and what's been proven versus things that are currently just intelligent speculation.
Okay, and I always appreciate that. Now, well, Cheryl, let's make a note. If you hear anything about this and we can update our listening audience on, you know, any new information on that. So these are very, very well studied. Now, if you would take, I imagine if you would take this propolis extract on a daily basis and then started getting, say, some kind of the herpes outbreak or starting to get the cold and flu or something like that, if you could increase it. If you feel like you need to do that, and we talked about maybe 3 a day, you could probably, and sometimes I will with products too, I'll take like 2 with every meal. Now, is this something you could take at any time? Can you take it on an empty stomach, or what's the situation with that?
You can take it any way you want to take it. You can take it on an empty stomach, and you can take it with food. There are individuals who chew the capsules. There's kind of a dusty powder on the inside of the capsule.
It kind of tastes a little honey,
like a little like pine a little bit, not in a bad way, but because they have concerns about what's going on with the bacteria in their mouth. And so there are individuals that even chew it. So you can use it any way that you want to use it.
Because I know they put the propolis in toothpaste now, too. That's something, because it's, and again, as I was reading earlier, it's good for the gingivitis and for your teeth and so forth. So you could actually do that. Could you use it as a mouthwash maybe if you wanted to?
You could, but I think it's just, it's easier to just chew it up a little bit and let it rest in your mouth a bit before swallowing. I think it's probably the easiest way to do it.
So what about maybe if you're getting a sore throat or something? I bet that would have some benefit there too. So you could probably use this for just about any ailment. Now, does it help any, and I've kind of read a little bit, it kind of helps with your digestion and your overall, kind of like a tonic. Is there an effect there too that you know about?
Well, it is supportive of healthy digestion, and there is one study that where they used propolis for individuals who are struggling with ulcers. But you have to remember that ulcers, especially peptic ulcers, have now been linked to a bacterial infection,
right,
which is called Helicobacter pylori.
H. pylori.
Right. So the research isn't clear on, is it helping people with ulcers because it's actually working directly with the intestinal or the gastric mucosa?
Antiseptic against the H. pylori, yes. Right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that part's not clear.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, a lot of people will use the lysine and some other products. I know the Ranunculus bulbus is a homeopathic, which is phenomenal, and also the Hypericum. Those are two that a lot of people take. So you could maybe take a homeopathic remedy, of course, with this nutritional supplement. What about the lysine? Where would that fit in, or do you even need to mess with that?
It depends. If you've used lysines in the past and you get fabulous results, have at it. But what I hear from most people is that lysine, which is an amino acid, and there's nothing wrong with it, it helps a little bit, but it doesn't help a lot. So if you're used to taking it, if that's something you use, that's perfectly fine. But you're going to get much faster results using this topical because it goes to work immediately.
Okay. And, of course, it would be very soothing. You could take the product internally, use this externally. Is there anything more that we need to talk about here on this? I think you're coming out. We won't tell everybody, but I think you're coming out with a new product also with the called for maybe cold sore relief. So there'll be a new product, and we'll be talking about that when it comes out. I don't want to put you on the spot here with that because, it's not out yet. We don't want to tell people, hey, we got this, and then they'll be coming in. They'll be like, well wait a minute.
We currently have the Herpetina lip cream, which does have all of that activity. But one of the struggles that you always have when you're dealing with dietary supplements is being able to call out disease states, which you can't. With your packaging and your advertising, it always has to be structure function claim.
Right.
And so
right.
there is some interest in being able to convert our Herpetina lip cream into what they call an over-the-counter drug. Just a little bit more paperwork that needs to be done, and then you can make over-the-counter medication claims for it. So
awesome.
That's a real step forward in helping to educate the consumer.
And it makes it so much easier on me at the store level if something is labeled more directly to a disease state. Somebody will come in and say, hey, I have a cold sore. Well, we've got a lot of different things. Here's a category for people that have that issue. Go hunt it out. We try to really educate and help people. Well, Cheryl, this has been great. Thank you so much for all the information, and we'll be talking again soon.
Life just got a little better thanks to Merry Man Earns.